You're listening to Y105. My name is Rob, and I'm joined with my friends Nero, Bryn, and Carrie, and we've created this odd show called Overheard. What we're going to be doing is joining in on conversations about God, about spiritual things. Maybe they're things that you can totally relate to just in your own, I guess, journey of trying to understand who you are in this world, maybe who God is and where you fit into this large story. And we named it Overheard because we're just going to be discussing some of these things, and we hope that you can listen in and just sit back and relax. There'll be chances for you if you want to call in or maybe you want to email us. We'll also have opportunities for us to listen to music and just to take some time to think about what we have been talking about. So sit back, join us as we enter into Overheard.
is holy, yeah. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. He is holy. He is holy. Oh, la, 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 la. Oh, la, 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 la. Oh, la, 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 la.
Well, back for another week of Overheard, and we're joined again. We had another fly-in by our special guest, Shelley, from Kentucky, and indeed, she was raised here in the Northeast, so her accent isn't quite as thick as the teasing we gave her another week, but welcome back, Shelley, and Nero, who sends her greetings to everybody, says she couldn't be here. She lives in New York and and is a student in graduate school and just couldn't make it in. But I begin this week just talking about something that I think is pervasive in the church culture. I remember maybe a couple months ago we talked about, is church relevant at all to us today? And then it got my mind thinking about tonight, or you know, this discussion that we're having right now. And that is, and I'm going to throw it at you guys because I don't think you're very aware of what I'm talking about yet. And see if it doesn't resonate with something that's maybe from your past. And maybe you're present. I don't know. But a couple things. I remember being a part of a church when I was a kid that I tried to intern. I tried to be an intern. I was working with the youth. It was in Minnesota, and I wanted to. But the church had a number of rules and inherent in the bylaws, and that was if you were a member, you could not drink, and you could not smoke. You know, and they had certain rules like that. And in my interview and discussion with, you know, some of the leadership in the church about being an intern, the impression that I had was that these rules were in place to keep certain people out of the the church. And then I have some, you know, I have a sister-in-law that was, they were looking for a church and they moved into a new area and they were driving around looking for a church and they thought, well, let's try out this church. They read about it in the, you know, the Yellow Pages or whatever in the paper, and they drove up and there was a sign out front. There was a sign out front that actually said, proper attire required. And in other words, you know, you need to dress a certain way. And, you know, that is the history of the church. And I say church universal. I mean, whether or not it's a Catholic or Baptist or whether it's, a Presbyterian or whatever, somehow, some way, somewhere, legalism, it's called, or rules make their way in. Have you guys ever experienced things like this in your past or maybe in your present?
Well, I went to school in Nashville, so I was confronted with a lot of that. But I think it's interesting to define legalism because that's something I think that within the church we throw around really easily, but maybe to the outside doesn't necessarily. Like, when does something become legalistic? Mm-hmm. And I think that you kind of hit on it when you said that it starts as a good intention. Like, the Surgeon General says smoking is bad for your health. And so the church is taking a stand saying, don't smoke, which is good intentions, right? But then it turns into this, like, weird, you know, it starts as a good intention, and then it, like, crosses over this line and becomes this, like, you know what it is? I almost think that something becomes legalistic when it becomes ignorant. Like, when people are following,
it's like the book, the short story, The Lottery,
where people are doing something because it's traditional and they don't know or understand the reason why. Whereas someone who understands the reason why might actually say, yes, actually not smoking is beneficial to my health and I want to be healthy. And so they can make that decision. But then that's also an individual decision. But legalism is, that's a good topic, man.
My dad always said, and I think it's really true, he's like, there's a difference between judging and ascribing value to someone. Like, you can say, we've judged that smoking is not good for your health. And so we would rather, as a stance, our church make a stance that smoking is not good. But then to see a smoker, if you suddenly ascribe less value to them because of that, that's judgment. Right. And that's, I think, where it crosses into like a dangerous legalism. That, like, I laugh too, as I run a skateboard ministry now that our church fully sponsors. I've been to multiple churches where you look in the back and there's a sign sitting there like skateboarding not allowed. And it's hanging in the back. And I realized, you know, I realized why, you know, some of the rules that have come are, you know, insurance, all that different stuff. But, like, imagine if it said white people not allowed, or it said smokers not allowed, you know, like when you have skateboarders not allowed. It's just funny. So, yeah, as a skater in a subculture where rules are, like, almost specifically attacked intentionally, it is a sensitive topic.
Mm-hmm. Shelley, you're from the South currently. Mm-hmm. Is that still? I mean, there's kind of a, you know, a stereotype that goes out about churches in the. You're not directly in the South, but Kentucky, the Bible Belt, so to speak.
That's the buckle of the Bible.
Is that stereotype hold true for us ignorant Northerners?
Mm. I think in some denominations, yes, it does definitely. That is in there.
And why do you think that? Why do we think that there is a need for that, those kind of rules? I mean, what do you think the church gains, or maybe where is this coming from? Why is it human nature to well, let me ask this. Go ahead.
Well, better answer the question.
Well, you know, I don't know. I was thinking, but, you know, wherever there's people involved, I think we have a tendency to develop environment the way we want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why you have so many denominations, because they kind of want to create it to the way they want it. Mm-hmm. So that's why some people go around, you know, house hunting churches, whatever, until they find one that fits kind of their them or whatever.
Yeah.
So whenever there's people involved, I think you're going to get all these different.
Yeah,
I think rules are easier too.
Yeah,
like it's a lot easier to just have a black and white rule
that you're breaking.
Spectrum and all the diversity of people can, like, you're either right or you're wrong. You're either this or you're that, and it's juvenile in some ways. And it can when it's at its basis in just overt legalism. I think it's just a cop out in some ways from not having to deal with the particulars of. Thing, like, as you were saying before, the spirit of the law, like, what motivates this, that takes time to work out. Like, is someone really breaking the rule here in what they're doing, versus, like, just having the physical letter of the law that it, mm-hmm. the rule says this, and if you're on that side of the line, then you're wrong.
Well, go ahead, Gary.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that it's funny, because coming out of an environment of where I was surrounded by people who, like what you're saying, it was just this black and white, like, here's what the rules are, and we don't have dances, we have foot happenings, stuff like that. Foot happenings. That's what they called them, foot happenings, because it wasn't a dance.
I'd like to go to a foot happening.
And but what's interesting is that their latest National Geographic has an article on three different communities that live longer than other communities, and one community was in California, and it was a Seventh-day Adventist. And the things that are in their church are that, you know, it's more vegetarian lifestyle. They're, you know, no caffeine.
They rest, you know, every seventh day.
Right. You know, things that, you know, are very, quote-unquote, legalistic, that these are the rules and this is what you do. But they live 4 to 10 years longer than the average Californian. Like, there's this hotbed of people that, so there are these advantages
are
to the legalism. So it's, I think that's an interesting struggle, too, because you have.
I think you hit it, and we'll probably take a little break and think about this. The topic is so huge. I think you hit it, though, Carrie, early on when you said the intentions were good. I think, and not to pick on any particular church, but when you talk about the Catholic Church, and I'm not picking on them, I'm only acknowledging that up until the 1500s, they were the only church, the only Christian church. And the Catholic Church today would acknowledge that there was some abuses to rules. You know, I'm not saying anything new, and nor am I accusing. I'm saying this is history, and this is actual, and that there was a use more of rules and more of of you had to do something in order to earn, in the religious context, earn God's favor. And I think there is such an incredible fine line between earning God's favor and a higher calling to life, higher calling to living. And somehow it's this unbelievable tightrope that we walk, that we skirt around, that yes, I want to have a higher calling for living. Yes, the church is called to ask of its people a higher calling of living. And yet, does that mean that the church then, in good intention, puts rules in place so that there will be? And the reason why I talk about this is because of where we are in the Northeast, I encounter an incredible amount of people that are, by habit and by feeling of guilt, showing up at church doors of which they don't even really believe in the faith, but just in case I have to do what I need to do in order that, you know, I will appease God. If that's our view of God, regardless of what church you go to, then we have more to talk about, because there's something far more exciting about life than trying to appease a God and trying to rid ourselves of guilt. With that heavy, heavy ending, I ask that you sit back, just take a minute. Those of you who are listening, take a minute. It's going to get better, I promise. It's going to get a little lighter, I hope. But there is great hope for those who live with this repetitive guilt. In fact, if you just even take a few minutes and you'd like to call in to Walnut Hill or to the Overheard family, those that are on the other line that will can assist you in just with prayer or with questions, here's the phone number. It's 203. It's 796-7373. That's 796-7373. And I just ask that you just give a call in and just maybe just dialogue a little bit. And maybe not yet. Maybe on our next break. But also enjoy some good music.
Your faithfulness, oh God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart.
still here. The things that you cling to, they seem to just bring you right back to your fears. But were the nails and the spear at my side not quite enough to provide the victory you need in your life? Come to me. Broken glass photographs that used to make you laugh sit on the shelf. And you'd change the frame if you could, but you're doing the things that you should, hoping that I'll think you're good enough. Come to me. Life you've been spending wrapped up in your lies, and once in a while's not enough to show to me what you call love. So don't waste my time, words aren't all I want. Come to me.
Okay, so we pick up where we left off, and that is the incredibly fine line in which we talk about these rules of living. In other words, this feeling of guilt, or this feeling of I must appease a God, and that's called one form of that is legalism. We will participate in rules and behaviors that we believe will appease a God. And on the other hand, there is a sense of a greater calling, a higher calling to living that God asks us to live to. Is there a difference in that? Do you guys see any difference between the two worlds?
I think that legalism has more to do with appeasing man than it does appeasing God. You know, proper attire required or secondhand smoke or what have you, or drinking, that has more to do with the community and man than it has to do with, I think, God. I think we'd be shocked at what God probably is okay with, and
appalled with, right?
Or
it's like the pride,
yeah.
the pride that we walk
gossip,
around with.
You know, what have yeah. you? We're more likely to talk about, you know, that's the thing. I remember I had a girlfriend who was living in a community that was highly legalistic, and she said, you know, people here are more concerned about not smoking and not drinking than they are with the fact that they're having an affair with, you know, a married man or a married woman, and you know, like, but the not smoking is more important to God than the fact that they're, you know, sneaking around.
Go ahead.
And that goes part, you know, where Jesus, when he said the Pharisees, you're missing the point.
Yeah, you're a whitewashed tomb.
Yeah, it goes to what you're saying, the higher calling of living. I mean, we just missed it totally. Yeah. And
And I want to make the point, too, as you did earlier, that, like, there are Mennonite communities, Seventh-day Adventists, that have a lot of rules, but they don't particularly have to be legalistic.
Right.
And there's a difference in that. Although, in some way, you would make the point, well, they're fairly legalistic because they hold to those rules strongly. But you can hold to rules, but if you know why you are and that the rules are there by, you know, a God-given rule that has value. I think of the one, like, thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, like, don't have sex outside of marriage. It's like, all right, you could approach that just legalistically, but on the same side, you could say, well, to do that, one, protects your heart, it protects your marriage, it protects your physical body from, you are going to live long, you know, all those different things. And so I would just want to make that point, as we look deeper in this, it's not whether you have a lifestyle or a faith that includes a lot of these rules or doesn't, but it's the motivation of the heart. As is it the rules themselves that are so important, or what the rules are guarding? Like that.
Or to even go what Carrie mentioned about this friend, that they're more concerned about, you know, certain things like smoking and drinking, more concerned about keeping themselves pure that way. You mentioned versus, let's say, an affair. I've also seen that people are more concerned about those rules than they are in actually relating to God.
Mm-hmm.
They're more concerned about certain behaviors because they think, well, I'm just appeasing this God, which is far away, and he's not really looking at me, but when I make a mistake. I'm reminded of the story in John chapter 3 when Nicodemus sneaks to Jesus in the night and he wants to see him. He wants to talk to him, the reason why he sneaks is because he's a part of the Jewish Pharisaical group that would not be happy that he was talking to Jesus. So he sneaks there, and one thing that Jesus responds to him in the questioning time is Jesus says, you know, listen, you know, unless you are born again, that's a phrase that carries a lot of luggage. There's another way of interpreting that. It's unless you are, you know, the Spirit of God is within you and you are cleansed, you know, just with God's power, unless that takes place, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we oftentimes think of that as maybe someday I'm going to die and go to heaven. But what he's really saying is you can't see life. You cannot see the kingdom, the actual functioning of God around us right here, if you're not surrendering to God. If you're not giving your life to him, you won't even see it, and it's going to happen all around you. That's what Nicodemus was missing. He was caught up in it over and over, caught up in some sort of rules game. He's like, you're not even, just like you said, Shelley, you're not even seeing it. Think of Paul but think of him in Philippians chapter 3 when he says, does anybody have confidence in themselves? I mean, nobody could like I do. And he lists off in this behavior, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. You know, like I did all the rules in that aspect. I was born, you know, in a pure-blooded Jewish family. And he goes on to describe all these things that were important in his life before he encountered Christ. And then he says, but now I consider them all worthless. All the rules, all the behavior, all those things that I thought were good enough were for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the heart. I mean, that's what you touched on. If you're doing it, but he meets Jesus and he goes on to live a life, and you would say he's free from actual rules, but he lives by guidelines.
Yes.
But the fact that those guidelines grew out of his love for God, and he's protecting now the relationship, the open communication that he has. And I think rules at their best do that. And even in a church-wide setting, rules at their best are, like you said, instead of doing the rules in opposite, rather than paying attention to God, it's like, because we're focused on God, the things that naturally grow out of that, that we do or we don't do, is, you know, it's so that we can be close with our God.
Things are too legalistic, of course. They keep us in bondage.
Yeah.
And that leads to guilt and shame. And we have this measuring stick that we carry around with us all day. You know, am I good enough? You know, did I do enough? And our focus becomes that. And, of course, we, you know, beat ourselves up daily because we can never be good enough. We could never do enough. And so we're always defeated, 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 which puts the focus on self instead of Christ.
Yeah.
And gets back to what you said when you opened up, then we're cheated out of a life of living to its full abundance now.
Yeah, I mean, just to go with what you just said, Shelley, and that is that I think we have the image of a God that, you know, that is angry, fire-driven towards us unless we do a few things. But really, if as he's described in Scripture, he not only wants us to have that full life, he wants to be a part of that. And it's not through just a certain way of living. I think it's through our heart being for him. And does our heart beat with the rhythm that his heart beats? You know, I'm speaking more figuratively, but do we get a sense that he has called us? Now, that stuff, that behavior stuff, actually gets altered based on how he calls us. Like, I don't think I can do all these rules to get to God. I think I need to surrender to God, who then alters and shapes me the way he wants me to be. And that higher calling will come through that. You wanted to add anything, you guys?
I just want to say that is the message of the gospel that you were saying. That is such the difference between getting caught up in religion and religion that existed even when Christ came. And when he came, he said that this new life, this freedom that comes is the fact that I took care of all the rules, like Christ literally says that. I fulfilled every one of them. I died for the guilt that, like you said, that measuring stick we carry around. I died for that, took it away. So when I rose again on the third day, like now we can live in the Spirit. You know, now we live with our eyes fixed on Jesus, and we do or we don't do things according to how he motivates us and what he speaks.
Well, too, you know, if you think about the verse in Romans where God said, I demonstrated my love for you by this, before you could clean up your act, before in your most
despicable
pit of hell.
That's when I died for you.
I died for you. And so legalism sets up, you know, this thing where we feel like we've got to clean up our act.
Right. And then God will
then
love us.
Then God accepts us and loves us. Totally is the opposite of what Christ taught.
You know? So it must be that this message, being that it's opposite to God, is maybe the way we default in our behavior. I mean, that maybe that's the real question is, maybe our human nature defaults to, well, I have to behave a certain way to get results. And he's actually providing the exact opposite. He says, don't come to me with that stuff. Well,
someone once said, do you have to get cleaned up before you take a bath? And just as an analogy of just that that idea of having to do something before you come to God and say, you know, transform my life.
Well, when we hop into this break right here, I just ask you to you listeners that may be driving along or maybe at home, just ask that you would take an examination on your own heart and your own motivations.
Oh, I thought you were going to say take a bath.
No, not going to do that. But I do want us. I do want to reach out to those that may be listening and ask the question in terms of your journey, because most of our country, let's be honest, most everyone here believes that there is a God that exists. Through what lens are you looking at him? Is he a God that is judging you based on your behavior? Or is he a God who loves you so much that he wants your heart and that he will do the shaping and changing in your life as you surrender to him? It's a different way of looking at it, and I just ask that you just take a personal examination in your own heart. And just as we take this little break, I ask that you would maybe even consider calling in and just ask just to talk about this with somebody here at Overheard, or just ask for some prayer. The number is 203-796-7373. That's 203-796-7373. Give us a call and enjoy some of the music.
stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. And together we sing. Holy is the Lord God.
Production of Walnut Hill Community Church. If you'd like someone to talk or pray with, we are here and would love to speak with you. Give us a call at 203-796-7373. Again, that's 203-796-7373.
Praise Him on the open skies, everything breathing, praising God. In the company of all who love the King, I will dance, I will sing. It could be heavenly. Turn the music loud. Lift my voice and shout. From where I am, from where I've been, He's been there with me. He's built a monument. His very people. So let His people sing, sing, sing. That's so wonderful. Be here now. Praise Him, Mother.
praising under open skies. Everything breathing, praising God. Build a company of all who love the King. Let us dance, let us sing. It could be heavenly. Turn the music loud and sing. That's so wonderful. Just to be here now. It's so wonderful just to be here now. Praising under open skies, everything breathing, praising God. In the company of all who love the King. Praising under open skies, everything breathing, praising God. In the company of all who love the King. Lift your voice to heaven, lift up your head and sing to the one who gave us love. This is our offering. Lift your voice to heaven, lift up your head and sing to the one who gave us love. Here our lives will bring.
As we come back and we talk, just in closing, a little bit more, just kind of closing thoughts on the issue of how you perceive God in terms of a God that expects you to behave a certain way, that you try to clean up your act in order to be good enough for Him, or is this God, has He already purified you, or is He in the process of purifying you based on your surrender to Him? I mean, it just... two totally different ways to look at it. I don't know if you guys want to just throw out some last words to each of us, each other, maybe just to leave us at the end of the show.
One thing I was thinking of is just having had that experience of going to school where there was majority of people coming out of a background that I would consider legalistic. There's a lot of people who are really hurt by that and are really stung by that and don't want anything to do with the church because of it. And that might not necessarily be all of it. I mean, I think some people are able to come out of a background like that and have that heart change. But I just encourage, because I know I deal with it still too, is there some anger and unforgiveness towards the church because of that? And, you know, last week we talked about forgiveness, and I just really encourage to have that examined, that there is that, if there is that history of, and even if you just need prayer to handle the hurt that comes from that. I mean, you have people, scores of people who are rejected and are still rejected by the mainstream church in general because of things that man, you know, has set up as rules versus God. So, I don't know. That's my last thought.
Good. Thanks. Bryn, Shelley?
Freedom, man. I just say my life with Christ now is all about freedom. And there is, I don't know, that He could even take what, we are the social outcasts, we skateboarders, and yet, like, that's my ministry. Like, that's what I do for Jesus. Like, I just do everything kind of counter, well, I don't want to make any bold, broad statements. Just, I've so enjoyed learning in getting to know a God who loves me, and I can motivate what I do and don't do according to, does this express my love for him or does this not? And that's it. And that's the rule. The rule is love. Like you said, greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you're doing that, you're fulfilling all the rules. And if you're doing all the rules and you're not doing that, then you're not fulfilling any of the rules, basically. And so I just encourage you to center yourself on that, on Jesus and his greatest commandment. And with that, live in freedom.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, from the time we're born, we're on a search for significance.
Mm-hmm.
We are on a search for acceptance, and we go through our life in different ways and to get that. And I think the church has sometimes hurt and been a roadblock for people that are on that journey of searching for acceptance because of sometimes the legalistic things have gotten in the way. But personally, with my life, like Bren said, that I'm so grateful that I don't have to try anymore, that there's 100% acceptance with mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That search for significance and acceptance is over.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much, you know, you get tired of trying, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying anymore. I'm just living in it, abiding in it, walking in it, and I'm just really grateful for that.
Mm.
That's good.
You know, I'm reminded of Paul as he's writing to specifically a Jewish audience when he was writing at this point, and it reads this way. But now we have been released from the law, for we died with Christ, and we are no longer captive to its power. Now we can really serve God, not in the old way by obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way by the Spirit. And if we flip that, I mean, it's written specifically to a Jewish audience, but I think it's written to the modern day law carriers. I think we are. I know I was in an environment growing up that was very much about a new law of behavior, and I think this verse can be written directly to you who are listening. That you are no longer, you have been released from those rules. You have died with Christ, and you are now no longer captive to its power. Now you can really serve God. Not in the old way by obeying every single rule that's thrown your way, but in the new way by the Spirit. And the great part about it is when you surrender to God, His Spirit begins to lead your life. He will call you to that higher calling. Man may help. Sometimes a brother or sister needs to challenge you, needs to say, listen, there's more expected out of you. But I got to tell you, true motivation comes when the Spirit, who's the Spirit of God, the creator of the universe, is actually interested in you enough to say, I have great things for you. And in that higher calling, great things occur in your life. With that, I just leave you with one more opportunity to call us, you listeners, that is, call us here at Overheard to talk with somebody or maybe to pray with somebody. If you need freedom from this kind of bondage in your life, as Shelley mentioned, then, and you are always feeling guilty, then you need to call and just allow us to pray with you and to talk through this with you. The number again is 203-796-7373. That's 203-796-7373. And we would love to talk with you. Until next week, would you go and begin to walk in freedom? Walk as if God was leading you, and not any sort of rules that you created or that man created, but really the life that God called you to, the great life. Go and have a great week.
Follow the wonder of your heart, and you will find me there, deep inside our worlds have touched. Close your eyes, I'm near. Don't need to say a word. Inside the stillness rings a song only our hearts have heard. Love has come tonight. Come true, love has come, love has come, love has come for you. Nothing else to matter, and nothing.
listening to Overheard, a production of Walnut Hill Community Church. There may be things that are weighing you down as you're listening tonight. We would love to pray with you. Give us a call at 203-796-7373. That's 203-796-7373. Heard, a production of Walnut Hill Community Church in Bethel, Connecticut, whose mission is to make the invisible Christ visible in the greater Danbury area and around the world. We invite you to join us. For service times and more information on ministries available to the community, visit us on the web at walnuthillcc.org. If you'd like the title of a song played this evening, check out Overheard on our website, www.walnuthillcc.org. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week.